From a competition to a pleasure hunt and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Coon Hunt Media Podcast, and we have got a good one here for y'all tonight, but first we're going to let Johnny kick us off with the verse of the week.
Okay, my verse of the week is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A lot of the times we try to make this Christianity a lot harder than what it is. A lot of times we try to add boundaries to it and things from it. But we just need to remember that it's doing His will in our life each and every day that we live.
If you are looking for a reliable, safe, clean, and comfortable transporter for your dog, then you need to contact Muddy River Transport. They offer a premium dog hauling experience where your dog's safety and comfort are top priority, and they will go above and beyond the competition. They use their advanced ozone treatment and sterilization machine to thoroughly clean their van at the completion of each run. You can rest assured that your dog will be traveling in an environment that is clean, safe, and hygienic. Their van is climate controlled. All kennel spaces are comfortable, spacious, safe, and secure. Your dog will be comfortable and stress-free during transport. The drivers that will be moving your dog are trained professionals with lots of experience in this field. They are friendly and dedicated that your dog's safety and comfort are top priority throughout their trip. Communication is top-notch. You can rest assured that you will get route updates, dog check-ins, and projected times of arrival, all while taking into consideration your busy schedule. If you are looking for a transport option for your dog and want a stress-free experience with the confidence that your dog will be in a clean, safe, hygienic environment, then call Muddy River Transport today to give your dog the best ride of their life. They believe their customers' dogs deserve to be treated as if they were their own. They are not just dog haulers, they are active houndsmen. They hunt just like you do and participate in all the major events. Remember the mission statement: travel safe, travel clean, travel comfortable. Every trip, every time with Muddy River Transport. Contact us on Facebook at Muddy River Transport Group or call 1-402-274-7558.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots. Making plots rise again.
Okay, welcome everybody. As Kyle said, we've got a good one for you tonight. We are sitting down with Mr. Chip Kosher from Elite Nutrition. Thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you here. We're actually sitting in a hotel room in Crossville. He was traveling. This all came down quick, and we were like, we don't want to miss this opportunity. So yeah, we'll get up here, and we've had a good time. We've been sitting here talking, and the typical Coon Hunt Media podcast. We have intentions to record, and we start talking for 3 hours. And so, what time is it? It's like 10:30, and we're just now turning the mics on.
But we met at 7 o'clock for dinner.
Yeah, so yes. That's fine. But no, we're glad to sit down with you tonight. So a lot of our listeners, and we try to do our coon hunting stuff. We try to get on some topics, and we've been talking quite a bit about Elite Nutrition. We've been doing some stuff. I'm giving updates regularly right now on some of my dogs. I'm running through the Lyme's and Ehrlichia treatment, and so we've been getting our listeners out there kind of acquainted with some of the stuff. But we wanted to sit down with the expert, and you've got the full product line. So we'd like to let you kind of drive in some other directions, and if you want to talk about that, everybody's hearing some of that one from us. But anything you want to just move into, we'll ask questions and go through some of your products, and tell us a little bit about you first. I mean, tell our listeners.
Yeah, so my background, my granddaddy's the one that founded Joy Dog Food in 1945. That's all I ever did. I grew up going to beagle trials and coon hunts and whenever Dad would let me go. And then I actually had my grandfather on my mother's side was a big beagler. So okay. I remember going to trials with him and thinking that was the best thing since sliced bread, and just I was around it my whole life, and that's all I was ever going to do. My degree, actually, believe it or not, is in industrial engineering, because I figured I might as well learn how to make the dog food, too. I knew I could always talk and sell dog food. And then for some circumstances in 2003, Dad sold the business. And I didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up, because that's all I was ever going to do. And I'm like, oh, cow. I was the oldest. I was Russell III, my real name. That's a funny story. I'll tell you that one. You guys like stories. So I'm the third Russell, but the second Chip. My dad also goes by Chip. And when he was born in 1953, he had two older sisters. One was 12 years older. One was 9 years older. And the one that was 9 years older, she didn't want to give up being the baby. And she wanted a baby pig. So when my daddy was born, she started calling my daddy Chipper, because that's what she was going to call her pig. And it stuck. So I'm second generation named after a hog that never existed until on my aunt's 40th birthday, my dad walked a 400-pound sow into her kitchen with a bow around its neck and all dosed up with men and aftershave and said, happy birthday,
that's
sis.
That's funny.
And Chipper soon changed his name to Breakfast, and that's how I got
it. So that's how Chip came about.
It wasn't Chip off the old block. It was named after a pig that never really existed.
That's funny. So yeah, you've been in this dog food business. Yeah. It's been a family affair.
And, yeah. So when he sold the business in 2003, I had an opportunity to go work for the new company, and they were very corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And for any of you guys there that know me, you'll know that I'm not a very corporate person. For those guys that don't know me, all you got to do is meet me one time and realize that. So I remember sitting in the sales meeting. They had a orientation book that was the size of the old Sears Roebuck catalog. There was that many rules in it, you know. And on the first page was, we can't carry a firearm on a company vehicle. And myself and Mike Harper, many of you guys might remember Mike from Trenton, Tennessee, was our sales rep that did a lot of the coon hunting events. we both stood up and said, we don't take our customers golfing. We go hunting. And Mike goes, I'll be danged if I'm going to drive through Memphis without my handgun.
Smart man.
So anyhow.
Yeah, very smart man.
Mike was at the end of his career, and I was at the beginning. So I walked out, and there, I put a tractor trailer load of dog food on a credit card and became a Joy Dog Food distributor, which made me self-employed. And we got into that and a lot of different tangents. And I mean, I sold everything from fireworks to buying scrap to... We did a lot of things from 2003 to 2017. In 2017, I had sold off different portions of my business over the years. And I just sold a pretty big piece. And I was, again, sitting there contemplating what to be when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And told my wife I was going to take some time off and figure it out. And about a week and a half in, I was bored out of my mind. And I called up Wade, that now owns Joy, and said, you need a sales rep? He said, yeah, we can use it. So that's when I went back to work for Wade. And that was when we really started pushing back to the hunting dog world, because he really wasn't doing a lot of that at that time. And I'm like, why are we trying to recreate the wheel? My dad and grandfather gave us the template. All we got to do is follow that. We just need to have that little piece.
Yes.
We don't need to own the world. We can make a good living off of a little piece. And it's our kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So went to work for him. And then 2017, 2018, I was looking for a distributor in southern Indiana. The two areas where Joy's strongest are probably with the people that breed puppies for a living. The dog, you know, the commercial dog breeders. Mm-hmm. And the hunting dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a lot of commercial dog breeders there in southern Indiana that I needed a distributor for. I ran across these folks, Elite Nutrition, at one of the trade shows, and it took about 3 months or so, and I talked my current boss, Kenny Graber, into spending some money on a tractor trailer of dog food. And I still remember sitting in that warehouse of his with that dog food. He goes, you really think we're going to sell all that? And I said, I'm going to do my darndest. Well, they quickly became our biggest distributor. Because of Southern Indiana, but because they had 800 dealers around the country that were carrying their supplements that were now piggybacking their dog food on with their supplements. And that was 18, 19, 20. The dog industry was booming during COVID.
It was absolutely booming.
So we were catching lightning in a bottle with that growth. And because of their regular business, they have really good LTL rates. So I can pretty much ship a pallet of dog food to an individual anywhere in the country very inexpensively, whereas before Elite, I needed to find a guy to spend the money on a full tractor trailer load of dog food before I can get feed to your local hardware store or your local feed store. Whereas with Elite, because of their LTL rates, I can get it right to your kennel. So anyhow, Elite's selling a lot of dog food, so I'm starting to pay attention to them. And Elite's an Amish-owned company from southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Pennsylvania guy. And Pennsylvania, we know a thing or two about the Amish folks. We've got a lot of them. In fact, we can thank them because that's the reason Donald J. Trump is in the White House today.
They did play a big role in that.
They turned out in droves to vote. I mean, yes. In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where we have one of our warehouses, I told you you're going to have to turn me down.
That's all right. Just a
moment. There was a 7-mile long Trump train with horse and buggies.
I would like to have seen that.
Yeah,
we got to watch it on social media, but I mean, I'd love to have been able to see that. But that's awesome.
So anyhow, my background with the Amish is I had bought a lot of produce and sold feed and straw and hay. I'd done back and forth with the Amish communities in Pennsylvania for many years. But my experience was they're good people. They're good businessmen. But they buy into a lot of snake oil. I remember I was 18 years old and an Amish man tried to sell me fuel injector cleaner. I'm sitting here thinking, what does a man that rides a horse to work know about fuel injector cleaner? You know, like, you know, and then there was a guy going around, and this was, they call us English. There was an English guy going around, and he was selling these Amish guys a pair of breeding pigeons for $500. And he had a market for, they were going to tumblers and racing pigeons and restaurants in New York, and his whole thing, we need more people raising pigeons. Well, he was taking, then he would sell them that breeding pair for $500 and then give you $50 a piece for every pigeon. We never had a market. It was just going to the next sucker that was buying the 500. So it was a big pyramid scheme. And it, so like that was my background. And, you know, you'll see a whole bunch of horse supplement companies. They'll come and they'll go. They'll change their name because they owe somebody money. That's what I thought. Okay. Elite sells snake oil, but they move a lot of dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really care that they sold snake oil because they were moving a lot of dog food at that time. So I started going. They get bigger and bigger. And I started going to some of their dealer meetings. Like, they'll have meetings at, you know, at a dealer store, and they'll go over the products. And then where I was at, they have one big dealer meeting a year where all the dealers come in from all over the country. And we foot the bill for all that, and we educate the dealers on the product. Because one thing about Elite's products is it can be a little bit more complicated than dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, and Adam Yoder, who runs our therapy barn, he was going through a presentation talking about our treatment for EPM in horses. For you guys that don't know what EPM is, it's also called Possum's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard of it before, but I didn't really remember what it was. So I'm Googling EPM as he's talking. And it comes up spirochete in the same family as Lyme disease. So after the meeting was over, I went to the nutritionist. And I said, if this works on this, will this work on Lyme and dogs? And she said, in theory, yeah, but we've never done any clinical trials. And I said, well, you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because that's like having the only toy store at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of dog food companies, but you're going to be the only one that has that. So over the next year and a half, they did it, and they're coming back over 95% success rate. When they were getting ready to launch that to the market is whenever I went and told Wade that I was going to go work for Elite, which worked out pretty because I still got my finger on Joy. Mm-hmm. So I still have that birthright, if you will.
Right, right.
But I get to sell. I got a few more arrows in my quiver now.
Yeah, you're in a unique position. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Granddaddy started this business for you. And it's and so you're getting to dabble in this one. So I'd heard of that one disease. So you're kind of the one that stemmed them to move into that Lyme / treatment that we're
correct. And when I found out, they were already treating Lyme and horses, mm-hmm. but they didn't realize there was a big market. Because until I came on board, their big dog market was those commercial breeders. Well, those mm-hmm. dogs are in a clean, sterile kennel situation. Yes. They're not exposing themselves right. to ticks the way our hunting dogs are, or even our pets are. So mm-hmm. it wasn't really a big thing for them. Need to say that's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, we've not had the experience with the Amish to the extent you're talking about. We've been very exposed to Mennonites in our area, mm-hmm. and it's the same concept. It's a really hardworking group of people, but when it comes to agriculture, animals, and so forth, they know their business
mm-hmm.
and the stuff they do. I mean, there's a community of actual true Amish that's not far from us
yeah.
that everybody takes their horses to. You can drive up there on a you could drive up there on a Saturday morning, and they had a community barn, and there would be 50, 60, 70 people lined up there to get horses shod that day, and then they'd all come riding in on their buggies to the community barn. They'd all go in the barn, and all of a sudden you start seeing the walls raise up, mm-hmm. and it started doing that. But that community was known if they had a doctor. He could set you down. People would travel from all over the world to sit down and let this guy. He would sit and look into your eyes and diagnose things, and it was spot on. I mean, this mm-hmm. man hit. So they...
Well, and that's one thing I want to touch on that is because there's a lot of people that I talk to. Just the other day, I was sending something out at UPS, and I was talking about we had a circus come to town. And I don't have children, but by God, that circus had elephants and tigers, and I wanted to contribute to them because they hadn't caved to the animal rights people. So I took a whole slew of people to this circus, and I was talking to this guy at the UPS store about it wasn't UPS, but where I send my UPS package.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they get all the Amish. They don't take care of you want to talk about being cruel to animals. All you got to do is look at those Amish. The Amish get this perception that mm-hmm. we want to pay extra for their furniture and extra for their pickled beets, but they get this bad rap that they abuse their animals. And it's just not true.
They
use their animals, absolutely. But yeah. I promise you, they take better care of most of their animals. And those kennels that we're talking about that they call the puppy mills, they're million-dollar buildings
mm-hmm.
that... They're doing everything. The issue is people don't like people raising dogs
mm-hmm.
of them having a purpose of being a breeding dog.
Right.
But the reality is they're breeding them for the first 4 years and they're adopting them out
mm-hmm.
to, you know what I mean? And we'd all have pit bull mutts that the shelters told us that we're Labradors if it wasn't for the dog breeder world.
Exactly.
You know, you know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't have access to our doodles and all that other jazz that we love if we didn't have. So I just want to, because that's one thing. I was even watching one of my shows was that I used to like watch before it went, got done with Blue Bloods. And they were talking about some guy in Lancaster County and Anthony on there. Well, the only thing out there is puppy mills and Amish. Like, it just drives me crazy that they got that rap. But they take better. I promise you, if I go to an Amish kennel, it is a pristine kennel. If I go to a show breeder, it's a hard time getting mashed potatoes and gravy without a hairball in it.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, they're filthy.
But the other thing, your point's spot on. If I'm depending on my, and I'll use the livestock side of it, if I'm depending on my livestock for my livelihood, I'm taking care of it. And that's what they do. You know, they live and die by that. They travel on that. They have to take care of
it. Well, some of those guys in lower communities, you know, I joke, the only difference between my boss and I is he has a chauffeur and he dresses a little funny. You know, because the Southern Indiana Amish are a little bit more progressive than some.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those guys, they're using their horse 20 miles each way to go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you don't push that horse that much
with that
and it not be taken care of.
Exactly. But I think it's a very good point though. And I think it's a thing to look at is this is a, if you're looking at a supplement process or whatever here, that's Amish based, you're getting into natural stuff. And this is stuff that's been lost in our, everything's don't have to be about chemicals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the world we live in. It's, we want to throw medicine at everything. When you step back to a lot of those things, natural worked.
Yeah.
Until we pushed in the pharmaceutical and chemical side. I'll get off on something that
we'll
be here all night. But
no. And that's one thing. So Elite has their own nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that runs the therapy barn, he's actually the only Amish man I know that went to college. He actually went to Colorado State for holistic veterinary work or some sort of thing like that. I mean, this man's unbelievable. He can put his hands on a pressure point on that horse and tell you what's wrong with it in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's spot on.
That's the thing. They're spot on. You got to be around it and experience it.
I mean, whenever I first saw Adam do that, I'm like, he is just smoke and mirrors. He's so full of it. And Leanne, the nutritionist, said, no, he's going to be 99% right all the time. He went out west. We picked up a distributor out west and he went to a vet. Well, first went to a barn, a therapy barn or something like that the day before. The next day, that word got, the vet out there had 60 horses lined up for him to do evaluations on the next morning before noon, just because they didn't have anybody that knew how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And then another thing that we've run into, both in the horse world and in the dog world, and sometimes even in the livestock world for the guy that isn't a big farm, is access to vets.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the dog world where the only vets comments or they need to spay and neuter them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what Lyme treatment is. They don't know what thyroid is. So that's one thing that we do offer as a service. It's not something that we do try to make money, but there is a fee to it. It's anywhere between $25 and $125. But we can do progesterone testing. We can do full panel thyroid tests, brucellosis tests, tick-borne disease tests. We'll send you out vials. You got to get one of those vials spun in a centrifuge and then the other one not. Send it back to us and we'll give you, because we're not vets, we can't tell you what it says, but we can make our recommendations. And our recommendations sometimes include our stuff, but I mean, we have vets that come in and out of that therapy barn 4 times a week. So sometimes it might be using an antibiotic. Like there's times where we'll make recommendations based on what's going to fix the animal, not necessarily just our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, simply because there's a lot of guys that just don't have good access to veterinarians anymore. And now with the new, what do they call it, VFDs, the veterinary feed directives, it's just very difficult for a small farmer even to have that good relationship with the vet, because the vet's taking their time going to the guy that has 10,000 laying hens or whatever the case might be.
And then the access to, for the small farmer, the access to all of this stuff that you used to could get over the counter at your local co-op.
Yeah, you can't get antibiotics anymore.
You can't get that stuff. So you're starting to look back into some more of these. natural holistic type remedies and mm-hmm. things to do. So that's good points.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a guy today was making the very same points that y'all are, except it was on the human healthcare side. They give you the pill, then they give you this pill for this side effect, and then the next thing you know, you've got a handful of pills that you take two or three times a day. And we was talking about some of that stuff today and getting back to the holistic approach at herbs and some of the Asian remedies and a lot of those things. But it's very interesting, and like you said, it's a lost art. It's like smoking meat. Mm-hmm. Used to preserve meat, the salt cure and sugar cured and those things. That's a lost art. I've looked into it several times about making.
Well, there's smoke a whole lot of people up north that don't even know that ham's supposed to be salty. They think it's supposed to be all sugary.
Yeah, and when I go to a ham place, they say city ham or country ham. Yeah. Well, I want country ham. Yep. I want salt on it.
Well, when that country ham, it's just basically a cheap prosciutto.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it tastes about as good as prosciutto, but you can do more things with it.
You can
it.
Do get more protein.
It's less money.
Yeah,
but this whole process, it's back to it's tying into that same art of what our grandparents did, and it's shame on us sitting at this table. Mm-hmm. I was exposed to all of this kind of stuff by my grandfather on a daily basis. Can I do a third of the stuff that he showed me as a kid? No, you know why? Because I didn't have to do it. I was so. I'm just given so much freedom and so much ability to get it without worrying about it. Why would I have to worry about planting that garden? Why did I need to know how to do this? Now you're like, ooh, it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. So
if you didn't have a grandfather to teach you that, there was a guy that actually was on Houseman XP's podcast that I introduced him named John Boland from Southern Indiana. He turned me on to the Foxfire books. If you didn't have granddad, it's a hard read because you're learning how to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you can learn everything from planting a garden to boiling a hog to what, I mean, it's just hands-on. It's a 12-volume set mm-hmm. that teaches you how to do everything from coon hunting to building a house. I mean, it's pretty neat.
But they used natural stuff back then. Mm-hmm. They had no choice to, and that's one thing I like about this. That's one thing that caught my attention.
Thing is, 95%, there's a few things when we start dealing with kidneys and livers that you got to be careful with your dosage. But most of the stuff, you're never going to kill your dog. You know, I remember talking to a guy from Mississippi. He was convinced that his neighbor poisoned his dogs because they had a falling out and whatever. And I said, well, what makes you think, like, if you got a falling out, man doesn't kill your dogs. He's going to confront you. And he goes, mm-hmm. no. I said, well, tell me what happened. He goes, well, I had a litter of puppies. And I just treated them with ivermectin. And the next morning, they were all dead. I go, how much ivermectin did you give those puppies? 1 cc. I'm like, you killed your own puppies. You know what I mean? Like,
he wanted to think his neighbor did it.
Yeah. I'm like, you killed your
convenient.
Puppies. Yeah. And I'm like, that's what nice thing is. That guy that forgot to put his reading glasses on to read the bottle,
mm-hmm.
he ain't going to kill his dog with our stuff.
Right. That's good points. It's good points. So what? Where do you want to kind of go? Like I said,
let's talk. So we brought up the antibiotics thing, so let me talk about the rebalance. The rebalance, that's one of our three products that are treating the tick-borne diseases. But that rebalance is one that you can use it for anything you would use an antibiotic for. We can use that for wounds, ear infections. Works great on ear infections. Like 3 days, it will clear up an ear infection. We can use it for pneumonia on a cow. We can use it for, it works on viral loads too. So we can use it for lockjaw on horses, West Nile virus on horses. It does a lot, there's a lot of probiotic, prebiotic products on the market that help build up the immune system. The Rebalance is one product that we have that actually does some killing. It's going to get rid of those things, which is what we're trying to do. The other nice thing is if you are doing livestock or anything that you're getting paid for gaining weight,
mm-hmm.
the Rebalance won't kill the good gut bacteria the way an antibiotic will. So if you're pulling aside a calf to treat for pneumonia, he's still going to gain weight just as quick while you're treating him as he was not being, you know what I mean? Because his gut's still functioning correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big product. I mean, the other thing, I'll have some going into the breeder side. We'll jump into that now. When I lean back, am I too far away? Can you still hear me?
So let me ask a question on that. So from my livestock standpoint, so this rebalance is just as good to use in the livestock world? Because I've only used it, we've used it in the dogs right now.
Yeah, but, so it's the, it, so it's the big bottle poke. Rebalance. So the dog bottle is a pint. And it's labeled for dogs because my commercial breeders are not allowed to use anything that isn't labeled for dogs.
Okay.
That you're not allowed to use off-species things. Mm-hmm. But it's labeled, the big bottles, which are a quart, are labeled for all species. So for cattle, sheep, horses, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know how yours is 1 cc per 10 pound of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same on the bigger animals except for we cap it at 30 cc's. We found going above 30 cc's on a horse.
It's wasteful.
Yeah, but what we have found, like if we're treating something that's life-threatening, like West Nile or tetanus, which is lockjaw on a horse,
mm-hmm.
we'll give 30 cc's every 3 hours instead of twice a day until that horse begins to recover, then back off to twice.
Okay.
So increasing the frequency does help, but increasing the dosage does not.
Okay. That's interesting.
You made mention of ear infections and things of that nature. My wife has golden doodles, and mm-hmm. I know we talk about a lot about hunting dogs, but she has golden doodles. She has one that has ear problems. And she puts powders in their ears and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was getting some medicine out and putting on the dog food and going out to the kennel. She said, What is that? And I said, well, it's medicine for these dogs. She said, can I use that for my dogs? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I don't know. I ain't never asked those type of questions. I know what it's used for my purposes. But I said, but I don't know. I said, I will find out. And what it is, she thinks it's maybe like yeast in the ears. Because she has head shaking and she'll chew on her paws.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, well, we will find out about those products for those types of yeast infections and things of that nature. So it's not just for hunting dogs, it's for pet dogs also. Oh, as well. Yeah.
Well, especially with her being a doodle, was it lab or a golden doodle?
Golden doodle.
Yeah, so those retriever dogs and my bird dogs, my Boykin Spaniels, they've got them extra flaps in their ears for whenever they're swimming to protect mm-hmm. their ears from the water. So they tend to get more, like my dog, he's in the summertime, he swims all the time. I'm not going to prevent him from getting ear infections because they're just wet all the time. But most pet dogs, it's yeast, 100% yeast. The rebalance will take care of the infection, 100%. And honestly, the best are already can be used to clean out the ear. But the best thing for cleaning out the ear, like putting in the ear, is that I've used in my lifetime is that Bloodwurst ear canker remedy. I found it in American Cooner magazine 20 years ago. Now I got to buy it on Amazon, but that stuff works great for cleaning out an ear. But if you use our Canine Guard, which is one of the products we're using for the tick treatment,
mm-hmm,
it's that detox. It's going to get rid of those. It's going to prevent you from getting those yeast infections and prevent you from licking paws and stuff like that. That product, you know, whether it's hot spots, licking the paws, ear infection, that Canine Guard will prevent you from getting it. The rebalance is the treatment once you have it, but if you use the Canine Guard, that will get rid of it. It will prevent you from getting it in the first place.
Okay.
Very interesting.
So on the reproduction side, one thing that's beautiful about the rebalance is we don't have to worry about bacteria resistance. The reason antibiotics are more difficult to get is because we were creating superbugs because of bacteria resistance. The rebalance, we do not need to worry about bacteria resistance, so I can use it as a preventative. So anybody that is raising pups, if you give that rebalance to those bitches 7 days before whelping to 7 days after whelping, you will never worry about mastitis or uterine infection again.
Really? So that's the window, though. 7 before,
mm-hmm,
and then 7 days, yeah, after.
Same thing on your mares. It's with horses, it's 14 days before and 14 days after. But you'll never worry about mastitis or.
So is that going to be same twice a day, just like we're
twice
doing?
Twice a day. Yep.
So okay, because I've got a mare right now that I got my fingers crossed and I'm knocking on wood that she's in foal. And I mean, I've got a late summer, early fall So that 14 days prior, just start her on that. And then I'm assuming her being a, you know, for me, she's a first time foaler. So that worries me a little more because there's always a little more. So that's,
and you don't know a history. Yeah.
Don't have no history. So that's a good thing to do on her is give it to her for those 14 days.
Yep. Before. The other thing you need to put her on is start free choicing our 2-to-1 mineral. So that 2-to-1 mineral stands for your calcium phosphorus ratio.
Okay.
On dogs, it needs to be 1-to-1, but horses and cattle, it's 2-to-1. And there's a lot of products out there on the market that they'll be 8-to-1. All that extra calcium is useless. If you don't have that right ratio.
2-to-1 ratio is the perfect blend.
It doesn't work. But that free choice mineral, the crooked legged foals, the her cleaning out, the getting development issue, like all the problems that you deal with foals because they don't have the right nutrition. Mm-hmm. You can solve it by just top dressing or free choice in the 2-to-1 mineral now while she's in full.
Okay.
And it will take care of 99% of those problems. I mean, you can still have some kind of whacked out thing, but that 2-to-1 mineral is designed. I mean, my guys that are breeding horses for a living, they won't not use the 2-to-1. I mean, it's that efficient. It's that effective.
Okay.
In the first week or month, you're going to hate me. But once they get accustomed to it, they won't take nearly as much as they do in the first month.
So they're going
to
like it. Oh, this is one of those.
If they're imbalanced at all, they're going to eat a lot right now.
Okay.
Until they, once their body gets to where it's supposed to be, then they're going to level off. And, you know, a lot of my guys that do a lot of buying and selling horses, they know when they bought a horse that's on 2-to-1 because they put them in their stable and they don't touch the mineral. If they get a horse that wasn't on the 2-to-1, they're going through mineral like crazy. Okay. Until that horse gets his levels up.
Interesting. I will be taking notes off of this.
That's what I like about you Southern guys. You've got horses and dogs and
house we have horses, dogs, cows. We've sold all the goats and my uncle and his dad's got chickens. So yeah,
what kind of chickens does he have? Does he have those show chickens that are out there on that one leg band out in the blue barrels on the mountains or no?
No, my dad has Bantams.
Okay.
He wants to think they're show chickens, but we got them at Tractor Supply in those places. So no, they're not the one. But I like those. Those are the prettiest and the best chickens.
Well, I tell you, when you drive through East Tennessee now, you can look up on a mountainside and all you see are blue barrels. You know something's going on.
Those are the chickens that's worth chickens. A lot of money.
Yeah. There was a girl, I had a dealer down in Alabama, and there was a girl. She was just a girl working at the feed store, you know, working behind the counter. I mean, She worked there for a long time. I don't know what she was getting paid, but I guarantee you she wasn't a millionaire. She just sold 2 roosters to the Philippines for $15,000 a piece. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah. I told you those are the chickens that make money. Yeah, they're my favorites, but I don't have any of them.
I was sitting in a store in Mississippi and talking to the guys about dog food, and this Prina rep came in, you know, from Prina Horse Feed. And she was a transplant from New York. She fell in love with a guy from Mississippi State. And she moved down there with him and Prina transferred. So she walks into the store and we were wrapping up. She comes in and you go into a feed store in Mississippi. There's 10 ton of rooster feed right by the front door. She goes, my gosh, y'all sell a lot of chicken feed. What do you do with all the eggs? She had no clue. She was from upstate New York and she was just clueless as clueless could be.
Thus the name Rooster Booster is.
And this old boy down there, he just in his southern draw, and I can't even imitate him, but he's like, sweetheart, we just like eggs for breakfast.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
Yep. So
let's go on to the reproduction side on the dogs a little bit, because that's one thing. I've done a lot of these podcasts, and we've never really spent a whole lot of time and going over we talk about the performance stuff and the tick-borne disease, but we don't really talk about the reproduction side of things. The essential dog is key, which we've talked about that on other podcasts. That's our vitamin and mineral balancer, our probiotics and our prebiotics. What makes that good is, one, it pays for itself. I promise you, if you buy that in a 2-pound container at least, not the 5-ounce shaker, you'll save what you paid for that in your absorption on your feed. Because the dog's going to get by with eating less.
Okay.
But the other thing is, most dog food companies, when it comes to vitamins and minerals, do what they're required to by law. And those vitamins and minerals for you breeding guys are more important than your protein, fat, and calories. That calcium ratio, the B vitamins, the folic acid. Those hands down are more important than protein, fat, and calories. And if you don't have that balance, that female, she's going to be hurting. When they whelp, if they don't have enough calcium built up in their system, they'll pull calcium clean out of their bones. I don't care. A woman, a horse, a dog, they need to get that calcium is what forces that contraction. If they don't have that, you're going to have whelping issues, and you're going to have long-term health issues with that female if you don't replace that calcium. You gotcha. You know, and you continue to breed her every year. The other thing is, I don't care what any dog food company tells you. There is not a live probiotic in any bag of dog food in America. Unless it's one of them freeze-dried, frozen, like any kibble dog food that the houndsmen are feeding. Because we have to cook. You want, everybody wants meat as their first ingredient, whether it be chicken, beef, or whatever. In order to make sure you don't have salmonella or E. coli, we got to cook at 212 degrees to kill those bad bacteria. Good bacteria and bad bacteria die at the same temperatures. So you can put probiotics in there, but they're dead. Then I had a smart aleck sales rep from another company that I think he just got done selling copying machines or something. You know, he's one of those guys that he's had 85 different jobs selling different stuff and didn't know any of it. And he goes, well, we put ours on after the fact. I said, well, how does that work? Because those probiotics activate at 75 degrees. So unless that product is getting made, shipped in a reefer to your feed store in Alabama, kept in a climate control thing, going to your house and kept in a climate control garage, by the time you got that dog food, it's going to be nothing but mush because those probiotics are there to feed on that product. If you put it... on after the fact, it's going to start feeding on that product unless you keep it under 75 degrees Fahrenheit the entire time, and nobody's doing that. If you think, if you have a dog food company telling you they're doing it, they're just lying. I'm telling you, it's a myth. So those probiotics, you will increase your absorption rate by about 20% just because you got that good gut bacteria helping to absorb that food. So that's one thing, whether you're a joy man, which obviously I am, a pro plan guy, or you're feeding Old Roy, or the one I love is Canine Rage. I see that in down Arkansas. I mean, that one, it says pasta product on the label. Like, if it has pasta product on the label and the guy who makes its last name doesn't end in a vowel, it's probably not very good. But it will make a lousy dog food decent.
Yes.
Put it that way. So that's where, and then we get into, for your females, we already talked about the rebalance. That is key. Another thing that a lot of breeders struggle with is Giardia and Coccidia. They're both bacteria that live in the gut. If you're selling your puppies to other hunters, it's not as big of a deal as if you're selling your puppies to a pet owner, because the pet vet's going to make Giardia out to be the bubonic plague.
Yes.
But we still don't want Giardia because we don't want diarrhea and we want healthy dogs. So for treating Giardia, we have a couple things. One, at 6 weeks, you need to be used Trazerol, Fenbendazole. Like, you need to kill your Giardia. Like, you do something that's going to kill it. But our Happy Dog Plus, which is one of those products that we're using, again, to build up that immune system for the Lyme treatment, it creates an environment where the Giardia and Coccidia do not thrive, and it doesn't allow those bacteria to get absorbed through the intestinal wall. So it basically flushes them out of the system. So it's not going to be your ultimate kill, but it's going to, from that first, because you can't use those drugs, or the fenbendazole, until 6 weeks at the earliest.
Yes.
So that whole time from birth until then, we can create an environment where those things don't thrive. And every one of you guys has coccidia because they're getting it from their mamas. I mean, Giardia is not everybody, but every puppy will get coccidia from their parents. That's just not noticeable on the parents. It'll create where they don't thrive. So whenever you do that kill, you don't get a big die off. You don't have diarrhea while the pups are young. And the big thing with not getting a die-off is if you are selling to a pet owner, you don't get a false positive test at their first vet visit, and then you have to pay for their vet bills to treat the Giardia.
Mm-hmm.
We can either use the Happy Dog Plus, putting it into Mama's feed, starting about 30 days before she whelps, and that will pass through her feed,
mm-hmm.
through to the placenta, milk. To the milk, to the puppy, and then once the pups are weaned, it's already on the feed too.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can use our paste for the puppies. My protocols for the paste are day three, every 3 days for 3 weeks. And you can do this. If you don't want to mix the feed, you can use that paste on the puppies and just do that every 3 days for 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks, okay.
Just purely preference. The other thing I'll touch on is the our remove. Hands down, guys, our canine remove is the least expensive way for you guys to worm your adult dogs that there is, period. I mean, you can worm 40 hounds for between 50 and 60 bucks. You mix that same ratio as the essential dog, 1 ounce per 10 pound of dog food, feed it to them for at least 2 weeks. It will take care of tapes, it will take care of whips, it will take care of hookworms. Pennsylvania, I worm my dogs once a quarter, sometimes once a year if I'm lazy. But I know the further south I get, it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. And you guys just don't get the freeze to kill the stuff off or whatever. I don't know. But I know it's, put it this way, whenever I go to Autumn Oaks, I sell a lot of Electro Boost because it's in September, and I sell a lot of Lyme treatment. When I go to Grand American, remove, stealing the show there.
You steal a lot of wormer.
Yeah. But what's nice about that wormer, too, is if you have a female, you can give that wormer to the female while she's pregnant too. So that's why I mention it along with the breeding. Other things for the female, if you have a female, this is not a product for everybody, but if you have a female that you've traditionally had difficulties with the whelping process, for the most part, our hunting breeds are pretty good moms.
They are.
Hounds, beagles, bird dogs, labs, goldens. But if you have one that has struggled in the past, our red raspberry, what that will do is make the uterus more elastic.
Okay, I was wondering
that will speed up that whelping process. The other thing where it comes in handy is if you have big-headed dogs, which in the hunting dog world, really the only ones would be if you're using your catch dogs for the hog dog world, are going to be pits or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got Frenchie breeders and pit bull breeders that have cut down on our C-sections by 90% because it makes that uterus more elastic.
Okay.
Now, an English bulldog is still going to be a C-section because it's just not naturally
right.
really
not,
an animal.
Not possible.
Anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not possible.
Yeah, it's just a mutation.
It is. That's good. That's true.
Yeah. The other thing is our calcium paste. Calcium, again, that's what forces those contractions. So if you have one that's struggling with whelping, you give them, as soon as their temperature spikes, they start panting, hit them with a dose of calcium, and then either every 30 minutes or in between puppies, hit them a dose, and that's just going to force those contractions. One of the things that I do run into some in the hound world is where, again, because they were not being fed correctly in the first place, back to that 2-to-1 mineral thing on your horses, where I've got some females after whelping that will almost, they'll get the shakes and what, where they get a calcium deficiency that almost presents as a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the calcium can help pull the dog out of that too. Again, we can prevent that all by feeding essential dog and feeding good dog food. But not everybody does that.
Right.
They react. So if you get that, where a lot of, I mean, I've talked to guys where they didn't know, they thought they just dog was seasoned. They didn't have any idea. A lot of times that's because they're short on calcium, and that's the symptoms of it is it's going to present almost as a seizure. They're going to not eat. They're going to shake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a calcium deficiency. That calcium paste will be really absorbable. The other thing, some of the old timers will use oxytocin instead of calcium, which will work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get your dose right, you got a dead dog.
Yep.
With that calcium paste, you never have a dead dog. Our lactate, that's for mama that does not have enough milk. It will bring milk. She'll be dripping within 25 minutes after you give it to her.
Really? So it's that effective?
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes in a powder or a paste. Typically, my hunting dog guys are going to use the powder. It mixes with the feed, or they can mix up a paste. The paste is designed really for my toy dogs because they don't eat enough feed to get the right dosing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier, but it is more expensive. So mostly in the hound world, I sell the lactate. And that's going to be for a bitch that doesn't have milk. But it also could be a bitch for a bitch that just had 12 puppies. Well, and the last time she had puppies, she had 6.
Okay, I was going to ask that. So if you can use that to just a good mama that you want to increase her milk production. Like, so Kyle's got a female that literally had 12 and she raised them.
She did.
Now, we've done a lot of puppies over the years, so we was throwing a lot of stuff at her, but that would be a good thing to have. It's because you worry about milk. Well, yeah. You got one that got 12 puppies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you could take the best care in the world and that's the thing. A lot of times people think that the number of puppies has to do with nutrition, and it can to a point, but 90% of the number of puppies is the timing. If you hit it right, you're going to have a lot of puppies. If you hit it wrong, you're not going to have a mm-hmm. lot of puppies. And there's a few breeds. Bernese Mountain Dogs are one. They're a pain in the butt. I mean, this the same dog, same breed. This cycle, they might ovulate on day 4, and the next one, they might ovulate on day 14. I mean, that's a difference of 1 in 12 puppies on a mm-hmm. Bernese Mountain. I mean, it's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Frenchies are the same way. Our hounds are pretty consistent. They are. Our labs, beagles are pretty consistent. But still, timing is a big factor.
It is.
You said about the calcium, about the calcium deficiency having to do with, I see a lot of posts sometimes on, my dog is, her heat cycle's off by 3 months. She comes in once every 2 years. And 9 times out of 10, which they may be on the right track because they start talking about switching this dog food or that dog food to get the nutrition right. So a lot of what you're saying is the minerals that's in the dog food are lacking in the dog food. Whatever food they're feeding may be causing that in this.
The good Lord is not going to let a female cycle that isn't ready to have puppies. Mm-hmm. And two things to look at outside of nutrition. Nutrition is a fact, but look at your body condition. There's a lot of goes both ways. There's a lot of running dogs that just flat out are too skinny. I don't mind if I see a couple back ribs, but if I see backbones and front ribs, the dog's too skinny. I don't care what you want to tell me. Like, somebody out there might disagree, but you need to be getting more weight on your dog.
That's fact.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you get an overly plump dog, if I look at that dog from the back or over top and it's not hourglass shaped, it's too fat. Mm-hmm. If it looks like a pillow instead of an hourglass, and it's not going to cycle. The other thing is sunlight. If you're expecting that female to cycle in the wintertime and you're not putting artificial light on her, she's not going to cycle. They need 13 hours of light in order to cycle. I was just back working for Joy, and I went to this breeder's house, South Whitley, Indiana, and he had just bought a kennel. The kennel was previously set up for raising spaniels, and he was raising Great Danes, and he was having issues with cycling. At that time, I really didn't know that dog breeder world. My background was the hunting dog world and, from what Joy was before. So I called up a guy by the name of Dr. Bramlett. He worked for Revival Animal Health at the time. He was, at the time, he's since retired, but the be all and end all when it came to dog breeding in the country. And I explained the situation to him. And he said, well, first, those pens are probably set up for spaniels, not Great Danes. They're probably not getting enough exercise. And secondly, because this guy was a conservative Amish guy, if he's not using artificial light, they're probably not getting enough sunlight for them to cycle. So I took that, shared it with him. He made some changes, female cycle. But after I got off the phone with Dr. B, before I even talked to the Amish guy, this is 2017. My wife and I were not able to have kids. And we were, at that time, I was running a cup to Pittsburgh hospital at mm-hmm. 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were still going through all that nonsense of trying to have kids. And I called up Jody and on the phone, and I said, honey, if you want to get pregnant, Dr. B said get outside and shovel some snow in the sunlight and you might get pregnant. She didn't like that very much.
Yeah, that won't go over well. Yeah. But all those things contribute big mm-hmm. time in your animals. I mean,
yeah,
but condition is a huge thing. Too skinny, absolutely. Too fat.
And if you have a healthy dog, one of the things that we do have that can throw them into that is our thyroid. thyroid regulates everything in the dog's body. The adrenal glands, the ovaries, the whole nine yards. So a lot of times, both on horses and dogs, our thyroid will cause that, throw that female into a cycle because we get everything humming on all clicks. But you're 100, there's so many variables.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Very, very good points. Is there anything else on the breeder side?
The only other thing I think is our ASAP puppy, which is a colostrum-based paste. That's going to be good. You can give that puppy, when it's first born, a little dime-sized drop on its tongue just to get it started off, get it sucking. If you have a runt or a one that's not thriving, it will turn them around quick.
Will it?
We have the same product for a horse, like for the livestock. That the difference between the dog tube and the other animal tube is it has a dial for dosing.
Okay.
Whereas the horses and the cattle, it's just one tube. Now, for your kids and your lambs, it would be a half a tube, but it works tremendously. When I was a kid, I remember guys that were raising lambs for 4-H kids, and they always swore up and down if they had a downed lamb, they had a dead lamb. I can't, hundreds and hundreds of cases of guys bringing back downed lambs with that ASAP tube.
Okay.
I mean, it works well. And same thing with puppies. I mean, I've had guys, I elaborate stories some, but this one guy, he called me up and he said, I had a puppy that he was just laying there dead. And he was in Wisconsin in February. And he goes, I think it got cold. I said, what was the first clue? Wisconsin in February or the fact that you had a dead dog? I mean, you know. And so he said, I went to pick it up, dispose of it, and I saw him wiggle his paw a little bit. So I gave him an ASAP tube and put him on a heating blanket. 15 minutes later, I couldn't tell which puppy it was. And that guy called me. Now, I've changed that story to he went out back and he threw it on a manure pile. 2 days later, he saw that foot move, so he gave him a little shot of ASAP, but he didn't bother with it yet. So the next thing you know, he spread the manure and the puppy flipped up, and when it landed on all fours and took off in the other direction, but that next Sunday night, it's scratching at the door, ready to go, like happy as happy could be. So I've exaggerated a little bit.
So this stuff works, then. It'll bring them back. I wish I had known you and some of this stuff back when I was raising the goats. I did that for 20-something mm-hmm. years, and I have to agree with that. A down lamb is a dead lamb. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the same scenario with the kid goats. So
I got a good friend. His name's Michael Glass. He works for APRI, which is one of the pet breeder registries. And he's been breeding like a commercial breeder for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
He said the only way you become a good breeder is by killing a lot of puppies. Because you learn.
That's true. You learn. You learn a lot of hard lessons in that stuff. Okay. This is some good stuff. All right, we'll be right back.
Houndsman Advantage is a proud sponsor of the Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Houndsman Advantage is the premier digital scoring solution for the competition hunter. The app gives the necessary tools to score in competition or track your dog's hunting performance while on pleasure hunts. Imagine the benefit of having this tool at your fingertips on every hunt. Some of the features included within the app are a scorecard view, a summary view with tree timers for up to 4 dogs. There is no more calculating split strike and tree points manually. They are preloaded within the app. Cumulative scores will be automatically totaled with current plus, minus, circle, or deleted points after each scoring situation. The app includes the full rules for UKC, PKC, Pro Sport, and AKC. A search function is included, which allows you to find specific rules instantly. The app allows you to scratch or withdraw a dog at any time during the cast. When the app is running under the UKC rules, it will automatically scratch a dog that has reached the scratchable amount of minus points. The app includes a kennel function for personal information such as registration numbers and entry cards. You can also store analytics on your dog's accuracy, win percentages, and much, much more. Even though the app has been tailored with the competition hunter in mind, the pleasure hunter has not been left out. You can set up pleasure hunts that track up to 2 dogs' performance at a time. You can keep totals on accuracy, whether good or bad. This will be broken down to the game scene, dens, slicks, and so on. When you register on the app, you are given a 1 week free trial. Within the app, navigate to the news and update section. There, you will find a video that will walk you through how to use the entire app. Don't lose a cast because you didn't know the score or you had the wrong score. Give yourself the advantage, the Houndsman advantage. The app is available for download at the App Store and Google Play.
Cajun Outdoors is the official light sponsor of Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Cajun Lights has been in business since 1986, making them one of the oldest hunting light companies in the industry. Any listeners from this area knows the level of quality and reputation that came with the Cajun Light. Cajun Outdoors is quickly reclaiming their spot at the top of the modern hunting light industry. Their recipe for success is listening to customers' needs and wants. If you're looking at a Cajun light and don't see exactly what you want, pick up the phone and call the owner, L.W. Nixon. He will make the light that you want become a reality. Customization is not a problem with Cajun lights. You don't have to worry about cheap foreign parts from box stores. There are no worries about tariffs. All their lights are made right here in North Carolina in the great USA. The key mission statement of Cajun lights is, when you as a customer spend your hard-earned money with us, we'll stand behind what we sell. We will be here for years to come. Their current light lineup is the premium light that is tailored specifically to the competition coon hunter, the Cajun Blinder. It comes with a choice of either bright white or natural main beam with four levels of brightness. Super bright dual white walk lights with spot flood combo for great visibility while walking and searching. Super bright red light with high-low option. Super bright amber with high-low option. Intense bright green laser. Burn time on high is 5 to 6 hours. Clip mounted for easy removal and changing of various hats. Weighs 18 to 21 ounces depending on hat style. The other quality lights they include are the Cajun Rogueroo, the Cajun Bayou 2, the Cajun Micro Gator. All Cajun lights come with a 2-year warranty along with a lifetime labor warranty. Most of the guys at Coon Hunting Media have reigned Cajun lights since childhood. Cajun lights, try one and experience an elite light from a brand that has been around for years. Call them at 888-773-3080 or visit their website at cajunlights.com.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store. Owned by Chris Girth. Located in Hemera, Indiana, Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
Welcome back, everybody. We were outside taking a short break, and there's a lot of stuff that we haven't covered yet. We are like, this thing's going to have to roll into a second episode, so stay tuned with us. We're going to come back in our next episode. We're going to get into some more topics. But before we end, we couldn't really not finish this one off without getting into Electroboost. So Chip's going to talk about that for a minute. Then we're going to break this episode, and we'll come back to you with probably going to get into the human supplement side of this a little bit more in the next episode. So take off again with it. Talk about Electroboost.
All right. Well,
also known as Dope in a Tube.
Dope in a Tube. This is Kyle's Dope in a Tube.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I thought I came down here to Tennessee today, and I came with a sweatshirt on, and I landed from Pennsylvania, and it was 82 degrees or whatever, and I had to change my underwear twice because I sweat so much. And I'm like, we need to talk about the electric boost just because it's getting to be that time of the year where dogs are going to be heating up and running hot, and what can we do? And obviously, it's dope in a tube, as you said. The guys use it as a, you know, for energy and whatever. But where the electric boost is awesome, guys, is
he's going to start wanting a few click hits off that word, that terminology. Dope in a tube.
Yeah. But there's a lot of electrolyte products on the market. And that's nothing new. But what separates that electric boost from the rest of them is it increases the red blood cell count. What that does is it gets more oxygen going to the muscles to help those muscles recovery and cool down. Up in our therapy barn, we have one of those thermal imagers that we can sit there and see the temperature of the animal. And in 15 minutes, I can watch that dog's temperature drop using an electric boost tube. I mean, it's that quick. One dose of that is going to be the equivalent of your dog drinking 2 gallons of water. So if you go in and dogs, you know, give it to them 15, 20 minutes before you drop, it's going to give them that energy, help keep them cool. But you get in, he's treeing hard for an hour. Give them another dose when you pull them off the tree. It'll get them restarted to go again. The other thing, if you get a dog that's, maybe you have again given electric boost, but you got a dog that you're pretty sure is going into heat stroke. Heat stroke can ruin a dog for life. I'll never forget, LW called me right after he started carrying our products from Cajun Lights, and he had some bear dogs that were down there in North Carolina, treeing hard in the heat, came back just totally lethargic, like on IVs and everything and still non-responsive. LW got there, started giving them full tube of electric boost every 30 minutes. After that second dose, those dogs were back up. I mean, it pulled them clean out of the heat stroke. I mean, it took a dog that they thought was going to die and brought it back. It really is the real deal. Obviously, use it as a preventative so you don't get in a heat stroke situation. But if you guys do get in a heat stroke situation, carry one in your vest. Hit them with that as soon as you see that that dog's not doing well and be able to bring them back quicker.
Right. And what I like to think about with electro boost,
you might need to introduce yourself because you don't talk much.
Everybody knows who this is, but, we've been on to him tonight.
You said it's like giving 2 gallons of water immediately, which will make that dog not as thirsty. I don't like, especially my dog, drinking stagnated water when it's thirsty.
Exactly right.
Because you're going to introduce worms and a lot of other diseases that you could have prevented. Because if it ain't thirsty, it's going to pass up that mud puddle. You know, and that's one thing I do like about it is because you are cutting down on diseases that way.
So you are actually recommending, as it starts getting hot and stuff, we're hunting, you're actually using it again. You can hit them again halfway through a hunt or whatever.
My situation, I mean, I have a wonderful job. I get to go out on cast with you guys. I get to go to Fox Field Trials, Beagle Field Trials, but my thing is upland bird hunting. Mm-hmm. I've just now gotten into doing some waterfowl, too, by Boykin Spaniels. And our season on pheasant and woodcock and stuff like that comes in September. Well, in Pennsylvania in September, you guys might not think so. It's still pretty dang warm. And I can, and my dog, I swim him all the time. I run him all the time all summer long. But that's different than hunting shape. I mean, because they don't got all that adrenaline. They aren't gamey the way they are. They're just going through the motions. And I can see whenever you get a hot September day and they're out there running, and, you know, the coonhound, it runs a couple miles and it trees. And it treeing is hard on a coonhound.
It is.
But with my dog, we're running 20 to 30 miles a day when we go out on a hunt. And I can see whenever he starts to hit that wall. I'll hit him again and he'll get over that little hump and be back on his way. It's amazing how it just flips that switch on him and gets him back to where he's gamey again and he's not just hitting that wall. It works really, really well. Same thing, you know, we get a lot of guys back home that are into hunting coyotes, and those dogs run.
They're running
40, 50 miles a day, averaging 15 miles an hour. It's hard on a dog. Now, unfortunately for those coyote hounds, you don't have quite the handle on them that you do bird dogs.
Right.
I tell mine, come over here, and he comes over here. That coyote dog might be 5 miles away at that point.
But like on the coonhounds, for us, it is – especially with the style of dogs everybody's got now, it's not uncommon for Kyle's dog to get treed one way and my dog to get treed, and one of them dogs may have to sit treed for an hour.
Yeah, and that's hard on a dog.
It's hard on them. It's as hard as running. I mean, that's a workout. Okay.
Yeah.
That's some interesting stuff. I'm curious. I may be I won't steal it, but I may get one of the heat sensors at work, because I like to do this and test this stuff. We may carry one with us, honey, and do some in-field studies.
It's pretty cool.
They'll be wanting to know, like, they're trying to shoot a machine out there and trying to figure out. Like, where's that? It's at the house in the garage. I'll bring it back. Is there anything else we want to touch on this
one? No, I just want to make sure, guys, as it warms up, you guys should have that. Even if you're not using it for a performance advantage, have one in your vest just in case you get a hot dog.
Okay.
Well our last episode that we just aired here, we talked about, we was at Redbone Days. And it was in July. The air was stagnant.
Tell City, Indiana.
And there was actually a dog that died in one of the casts there. And we had one dog.
Stroking out
that was laid down on his side.
It was probably, 11 o'clock when we cut them dogs loose in the truck, was saying 79 degrees.
Wow.
That's at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
You don't see a mouse. You didn't see a possum. You didn't see a rabbit. You didn't see a deer. You didn't see nothing. That's how hot it was.
Mm-hmm.
And right toward the end of it, there was one of our dogs in our cast was actually, other than laying on its side, there was one in the middle of the river or the creek just hanging out because it was that hot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before we knew anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I wish we'd have known about it, but nowadays we do know about it. So if you do know about it and don't take advantage of it, it's your own. It's your own fault.
I mean, it can be the fine line between a payday weekend or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because
all you got to do is ask that Missouri Mafia out there from Walker Days. Yeah. Randy Smith was busting their chops. We won. Was it Fran, I think, he won Walker Days with? And those guys out in Missouri actually brought up on a question for UKC.
Right.
Thought they were giving them performance-enhancing drugs. And all he was doing was giving them electric boosts.
Yeah. And then,
we passed the question anyhow.
And the stuff is effective quickly.
Yeah.
It don't take over time.
No.
Which means if you got a few minutes, you've got time.
Mm-hmm. And I like the pace because, and the one thing is, guys, with the pace, remember you have a dog. My wife, with some of our pace, she's like, well, they just dribbled it back out. You put it on the back of their tongue, you hit the plunger, and you don't give them a choice but to take it. It is a dog.
Exactly.
They don't have to lick it out of the tube. You force it down their throat, and it will be effective. There's not a dog alive that went up to a spoon and licked ivermectin off that spoon, I promise you, because it tastes like crazy or horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you guys take ivermectin during COVID?
I've not taken it. My brother takes it, and it's not something that's...
So I took ivermectin when I had COVID. I went and got that apple-flavored horse ivermectin. There ain't nothing apple about it whatsoever. It was the most nasty-tasting thing. And I said this earlier, and Jason corrected me, but it has the consistency of bull semen.
And I said, I'll just trust you on that one.
Yeah. And I said, I've never tried it, but it looks like that would look. And that's what I had to force down my throat with that horrible taste. So trust me, Electro Boost doesn't taste that
I think
that
the way
bad.
I said it was, I've never tasted it, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly right. And the cow was like, well, it's not bad.
So that's some interesting stuff. We've been calling Nick regularly, like, we sent us another 5-pack. So we now that we've got a hold of this stuff, we're talking about it, but we're believers in it. We're using it. We're getting it, and we've got it stretched out to Illinois. We've dropped some tubes off up there. Like, here you go, keep it. We got dogs up there hunting and so forth.
Well, I appreciate you guys, because I tell you what, I heard LW told me to listen to that podcast, and I remember seeing you guys up at Super Steaks, was it, or World?
World.
Yeah. And you guys are the first ones to reach out to me that gave me free PR without me being a sponsor. We'll have to rectify that potentially down the road.
We're using the product.
Yeah.
It's one of those. I mean, Nick and LW had put us on this stuff. Like, you got to start trying this stuff. And Kyle had already caught wind of some of it. He's been using some of it. And we're like, yeah, this is a real deal.
Yeah. Well, you want to be honest? I'll be honest with you. Kyle come up and he was over to the Grand American 2 years ago. And he said, what about this? I said, I'm kind of like, "You, that's a snake oil salesman."
Yep.
I said, "If that is true, that is a miracle drug." Because he was talking about the limes and Ehrlichia and things of that nature. And I said, "Nah, I ain't."
It all seemed too good to be true.
Yeah. It did.
And it's still, and that's, I mean, just facts of the matter.
Well, like I said, there's a dog food, and I'm a joy guy through and through, but dog food's dog food. There ain't a whole heck of a lot to talk about, but some of this stuff, it's like seriously having the only toy store at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I told him. I said, "They can't be no way," but yes, they is way.
All right, so let's end this, because we've still got several things we want to talk about. So for all of our listeners, tune back in, because we're going to sit right here and we're going to record some more, and we're going to get into some human treatments and things that this stuff will do. So it's back to that holistic thing. It's that they looked at all aspects of it when they was creating it. So thanks for listening to this episode. And
well, one thing I can say too, if you guys don't realize it, your dogs are in better shape than you are. So we have some products that can fix your old coon hunting self up a little bit better.
Our dogs get around a lot better than we do in the woods. So yeah. Kyle's the only one that's out in the front of the group. The rest of us are dragging tail.
That's fact.
All right, so thanks for listening.